program was recorded earlier.
Welcome to Hope in the Night, late night talk radio offering biblical hope and practical help, and on the air now for over 25 years. I'm Jeff Oliver, here with author and speaker June Hunt. Well, it's June, today is Martin Luther King Jr.'s holiday, where we remember and celebrate that man's life. And we have a good section in our Keys on Prejudice there. And so what do you have for us?
Well, just as a specific reminder, you can't speak about prejudice knowledgeably and comprehensively without really reflecting on the life and influence of Martin Luther King Jr. Mm-hmm. You know, his leadership and influence as both a minister and a civil rights activist resulted in profound change in the social, political, and spiritual conscience of America. Specifically, what I'm saying is his approach wasn't violence. In fact, it was intentionally non-violence. Now, in April 1963, Martin Luther King and others, they organized this non-violent protest from Birmingham, Alabama, to speak out against racism in the city. And after a week of marches and sit-ins, a local judge files an injunction against the protests. Martin Luther King and all the other leaders, they disobey the rulings and continue to march against the racial injustice that was prevalent at that time. And consequently, King and others are arrested and jailed, much like the Apostle Peter. The Apostle Peter, who was seized and arrested for his commitment to Christ. And it's interesting, in Acts 12:5, the Bible says, "But the church was earnestly praying to God for him." So when you look at prejudice and discrimination, what we see is there are times when we can do what is right biblically, right, in fact, within the United States of America, there is a right that we have to speak, and efforts to shut down speech is wrong. But I'm saying that because what we need to understand is, in spite of being arrested almost 20 times and assaulted 4 times, and Martin Luther King's house bombed, literally bombed, he organized groups and marches and campaigns to protest racial injustice. And you may want to get our material on the topic of prejudice, because in there we have what is called, it's letter from Birmingham jail. It's one of the most famous letters that exist. This is the protest resulted in one of America's most famous letters in history. Again, Martin Luther King Jr.'s letter from Birmingham jail. And in his cell, he pens this famous letter in response to newspaper reports on the protests at that time. And I think it's vital to look at his letter in light of God's word, and we can uncover many principles that help us address discrimination and unjust prejudice that surfaces in our time. In fact, the first point, and there are many points, and we detail them. We have scriptures for each one of the 15 points. But the first is confront injustice and prejudice everywhere. He wrote, "I am in Birmingham because injustice is here." Just as the Apostle Paul left his little village of Tarsus and carried the gospel of Jesus Christ to practically every hamlet and city in the Greco-Roman world, I too am compelled to carry the gospel of freedom beyond my particular hometown. And it's interesting that in the Bible we read in Isaiah 1:17, learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed. And then his second point, he wrote, I cannot sit idly by in Atlanta and not be concerned about what happens in Birmingham. Injustice anywhere, I like this phrase in particular, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality tied to a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. And so if this would help you, I think that there are times when we have what I call like a lending library. I used to have a lending library, and I would have certain things that were very important, and I would loan them out. Sometimes I would buy just extras of whatever. But in this case, you may want to have our book on prejudice, how to be a barrier breaker. It's within our Keys for Living library, but prejudice, how to be a barrier breaker. Let us help you ultimately help others. And I'm thankful for all who fight injustice.
Do you have a heart for people who are hurting and broken? You want to throw them a lifeline, but sometimes you just don't know how. Lifeline to Hope is a brand new, one-of-its-kind caregiver training designed just for you. Using video-based instruction from leading experts, plus relevant case studies and interactive exercises, you can discover how to effectively provide support, encouragement, and spiritual care. The ultimate goal is to connect lives in crisis with a new or renewed life in Christ. This 10-week Lifeline to Hope program can train and deploy a small, effective group of caregivers in your church and community. Be the person in your church that brings together caregivers to become better equipped to meet the hurting. Discover more at lifelinetohope.org. Lifelinetohope.org.
In these challenging times, millions are suffering with more stress, anxiety, and fear due to the unknowns a global pandemic can bring to daily life. What is God's Heart on Stress, Anxiety, and Fear is a free download from Hope for the Heart. You'll discover what Scripture says on these issues and see how God cares about the struggles we face in life. Simply go to hopefortheheart.org/COVID to download your free resource titled, What is God's Heart on Stress, Anxiety, and Fear? It's quick and easy to get your digital copy of this free resource that is filled with hope for these troubling times. That title again is, What is God's Heart on Stress, Anxiety, and Fear? You can find it at hopefortheheart.org/COVID. That's hopefortheheart.org/COVID.
Welcome back. I'm Jeff Oliver, and you are listening to Hope in the Night. We're a ministry of Hope for the Heart, and we're here because of your prayers and support, and we thank you for that. If you have questions or concerns about the topic of prejudice, we have information that will help you, our Keys for Living, and you can call customer support now at 800-488-HOPE to order those materials. Again, the Keys for Living, Prejudice, How to Be a Barrier Breaker. And customer support can help you access that. The number is 800-488-4673. You may also email us at customercare@hopefortheheart.org if you have any questions regarding topics and resources discussed in a particular program. Again, that's hopefortheheart. Excuse me, it's customercare@hopefortheheart.org. Now, we want to thank you for your financial and prayerful support over the past year, and we had a year-end matching grant, and those dollars will allow us to grow the number of people we reach with biblical hope and practical help for today's life challenges. And we would welcome your continued prayers and generosity. It's vital as we begin the new year of reaching more people with God's truth during these difficult times. So many are living under uncertainty and fear, and we want to help people understand and apply God's promises. So go to hopefortheheart.org. That's hopefortheheart.org. Look for the donate button at the top of the page, and you can give there. We thank you. Let's get to tonight's caller, and we have Anne Marie.
Well, hello. What a wonderful thing to hear. Have you call? How can we help you, Anna Maria?
Hi. I've had questions my whole married life about mostly submission, and also we've been married 25 years now, and the kids have always caused conflict in our marriage. The fact that I married an unbeliever has also caused a lot of conflict in my marriage, and again, submission has really been difficult to wrap my mind around.
So when you said the kids have always caused conflict in our marriage, could I understand what is there a common challenge for them, a common difficulty within the relationship with the parents to the children, or help me understand, because so often there is a common cause.
Well, I don't know, just about almost everything, to be honest with you. So, with regards to school, I really, ever since I learned about homeschooling, I've wanted homeschooling. And my husband has been adamant that, no, the public school is really the only option. And over the years, I've gotten a little bit more strict as far as diet and wanting healthy food for the family type of thing. And he's more budget-oriented and definitely meat and potatoes-oriented than I am. I mean, church and Sunday school, and he always felt that there needs to be like a time for movie in the late evenings, like just before bed. The kids would always watch TV or a movie or something, and I was more reading books oriented and thinking we should do family stuff, maybe some games, maybe. And yet that was his time to wind down and kind of have time for himself type of thing. And so he wanted them to be quiet. And, of course, they were quiet when they were watching TV. My kids are pretty well grown now. My youngest is 13. But we still have struggles even with the 13-year-old or the 19-year-old that are still living with us.
Okay, so how many children do you have?
We have four.
And so the youngest is 13, and the oldest is what?
The oldest is going to be 25, I believe, this fall. Yeah.
Okay. So you have a 13-year-old and then a, did you say a 19-year-old? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay.
13, 19, 20, and 24.
Okay. Okay. So, I hear that there are real differences of what you would prefer versus what he would prefer. And since you said you began with questions about submission, I gather that these were some challenging views that the two of you have that are very different. And so what do you share at times, like, sometimes he'll do this, and that, you know, is there a balance, or is it pretty much what he says?
For the most part, I consider it's been what he says.
Okay, so it's primarily what he says. Is that what you're saying?
I always felt as though he didn't really consider anything that I really felt. I mean, he considered that he just didn't really consider my opinions.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that is the case with some husbands. Certainly not all, but that is a heart concern by many wives. So I understand what you're saying. By the way, I grew up with that, where my mother had no say whatsoever. So I understand, okay? And I'm not saying that our situations are totally parallel, but please understand that I understand, okay?
Okay.
Now, when you say also questions about submission, are there ever times where you feel that you are being, I don't want to say forced, but you are being told to do something that would go against your conscience?
The homeschooling thing came up. Especially, it renewed itself. Okay, so when my daughter was like in upper elementary age, she wanted to be homeschooled. And again, he said, no, absolutely not, type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I submitted in that instance. So I considered it was submission. Okay, I guess it's just, you know, I guess not. But when it came this past fall and my 13-year-old was struggling, about the same age that she was when she started struggling, I put my foot down and I said, I'm pulling him out. And I did. And all through this school year, I've been like, okay, so am I being rebellious? I guess I'm not really submitting anymore, and that kind of thing. And I've really kind of struggled, and we've had kind of a hard homeschool year. I pulled him out 6 weeks into the school year, and I just told my husband that I'm doing it. I have to. He keeps talking to my son, saying, okay, come the fall, you're going to go back to the public school. And I consider that my son has something to say about that. And as usual, he doesn't seem to feel that my son has any choice in the matter. And I found out that his bark is worse than his bite, so to speak, and yet I'm still trying to be open to the idea that, you know, I want what God wants.
Mm-hmm.
And if God really wants him to go back to public school in the fall, well, fine. But if it's just my husband saying that, then I think God has a say in the matter, too, and that's something that I've only recently come to think that maybe this really is something that is coming against maybe what God wants.
Okay, well, we'll talk in a moment then about what is this issue of submission? What does it really mean, and are there extenuating circumstances? Now, let me ask one other thing. When you said questions about submission, so I get it that you are concerned about the children and the schooling and wanted to be you were doing this for their sake, because that's why parents do homeschooling, because it's a lot of work. How have you felt? Have you felt that the kids have thrived? Have they benefited? You said your daughter was struggling. Is that correct?
Well, when she was about my 13-year-old's age,
yeah,
she struggled, and she never did graduate from high school, and she's 20
now. Oh, I see.
You know?
Okay. So you know, you were concerned based on the past, because school did not, it was not successful for her in your eyes.
And you had similarities in personality between my 13-year-old now and my daughter. And
at that time, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah,
how to repeat it. Right. Okay. So it was out of compassion for your son, right? Your 13-year-old son, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so how has he done in this school year?
We've had some struggles, and I'm actually getting him some brain training and that kind of stuff. But he had pretty well shut down at that point, and he's blossomed and he's opened up. And I'm not saying it's been that productive of a school year. We've gotten some stuff done, but there's stuff we haven't gotten done also during the school year that I would have liked to have gotten done.
Okay. So you said there have been improvements by virtue of, you know, he needs help with his brain.
Yeah.
And that, you know, there are times when if you can identify and catch things early enough, that can be highly beneficial. And so I hear what you're saying, that there are areas where he has blossomed, that he's, you know, it's not like he became Einstein. By the way, who did fail? I don't know if you know that or not, but
yeah,
we have some major people who were brilliant who flunked, and they would flunk major tests.
Addiction, abuse, violence, grief and loss, depression and suicide, marital and family stress. These are only some of the problems the church faces today. As a pastor, you may feel overwhelmed with the needs of those in your church and community. As a first responder within your faith community, how do you manage the crisis around you? Imagine raising up those in your church to come alongside you, helping you meet the needs of hurting people. Lifeline to Hope is a brand new, one-of-its-kind caregiver training program for your church. This 10-week video-based program can train and deploy a small, effective group of caregivers and help you launch a dynamic caregiving ministry. Equip your church to connect lives in crisis with a new or renewed life in Christ. Discover more at lifelinetohope.org. lifelinetohope.org.
Would you like to talk to June Hunt about a situation in your life? Consider having that conversation on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, and let June help you discover practical help that's grounded in God's truth. Your story will be heard on all of our radio affiliates, and of course, we protect your privacy by providing you with a different name. And as it happens often in our program, when you share your story, you might help someone else find biblical hope and practical help for their life. It's ministry multiplied. For an opportunity to talk with June Hunt on Hope in the Night about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or some other concern in your life, call 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-644-4817. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call tonight. 800-NIGHT-17. 800-644-4817.
Welcome back to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we want to help you, and we want to help you help others. If you have questions about this or any number of topics, we have over 100 keys for living that will help you address whatever might be going on in your life or maybe in the life of someone you care about. And you can help them with lending these materials to them. And it may be very helpful as you go through those materials together. And so consider amassing a kind of a lending library. And you can call customer support to get the right materials in your hands at 800-488-HOPE. That's 800-488-4673. And our customer support team will be happy to hear from you and answer any questions you might have. Also, check out our website at hopefortheheart.org/store. You can find the new updated Keys for Living, the Lifeline to Hope online training, and June's biblical resources as well. We do have many books and CDs available there, all available at hopefortheheart.org/store. As I mentioned, the Lifeline to Hope online training, that's a video-based caregiver training program that will equip churches to provide practical biblical support and counsel and spiritual care on a short-term basis. And we're looking to equip some 300 church facilitators to train 3,000 people helpers and support some 30,000 people in need. We thank you for your support of this ministry.
Well, my friend, I know that this is a very challenging situation for you from the standpoint of if you have a certain value system and your husband has a different value system, this is one reason why at times when you look at the scripture, do not be unequally yoked, there will be different views and values that you can easily have. And so obviously you're saying, I am concerned about my children, and yet what you're also saying is, I'm wanting to do what God wants me to do, correct?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So, and that is the most important. I'm going to say that again. That is the most important. So, when we look at, I think it could be helpful to understand a part of God's heart on marriage. At times you do look at certain scriptures, and I'm going to present a passage. Ephesians 5:23 says the husband is the head of the wife. And some people go, well, wait a minute, if that's the case, must a wife submit to being abused by her husband? Now, I'm saying this intentionally because I want to explain there are times when we've got to think through the situation. I'm talking about, is there something God has already spoken to where to submit to an authority figure, let's say it is a husband, then in one situation, it would be right to submit. In another situation, I'm going to be very blunt. Let's say your husband wanted to rob a bank. And he says, honey, I've got it all figured out. All you need to do is to drive the getaway car. All you have to do, you don't have to touch the money, but I've already got it figured out. I know we will not get caught. We need money, blah, blah, blah. And I'm doing this totally hypothetical case. And you think, oh, but I am supposed to submit. Well, the Bible has a hierarchy of submission. I'm calling it a hierarchy of submission. And that is, first, the Bible says, submit one to another out of reverence for Christ. One to another means there are times when you submit to your husband, the times your husband is to submit to you. It's just a very clear passage that then you see then husbands or wives submit to your husbands. By the way, this is all laid out in the Bible, and I can tell you there was never in my father's experience of him ever doing what my mother wanted, except one time, and my mother wanted us to go to church, and he insisted that we not go, and then, but the issue for him was he wanted mother. He said, "I will stay home if you will allow the children must da 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 da." And she said, "Why?" In a way, we were in the way. I was probably a teenager at that time. And, I know it was. I was maybe 13, 14. And so there was kind of a negotiation that typically never worked, but this one did. But it really accomplished his purpose because he really wanted mom and my mom to be present with him and not go. And so I'm saying this because there can be very difficult situations. She knew that she believed that we needed to be nurtured spiritually, and my dad said Christianity's a crutch and all that. So as it is, it became a positive experience in a strange way. Mother would put on the radio very low, and my dad did like music, so he would be hearing hymns, and he actually liked the beauty of the songs from our downtown church, and then he actually began to hear some sermons, so it was an unusual thing that occurred. But Mother truly felt stuck and not knowing what to do, and she had made mistakes morally with him already, and so there was just a lot of complexity. But the point is, sometimes there is zero negotiation, and this was, I can only think of two times when this ever occurred, where Dad would do the submit one to another. But I'm just giving you what the Bible actually does say, that there is to be in relationships, it's called mutual submission, where one time you submit here, another times he submits there. This is in friendship and other kinds of relationships that are that's if it's healthy, if we're living in a healthy way. Now, you can't change what you have. You have what you have, and I get it. To be clear, the Bible in Ephesians 5:21, submit one to another out of reverence for Christ. The very next verse is, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. It says, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. And then it goes on to say, husbands, love your wives. This is verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Oh my goodness, he should be willing to die for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing of the water through the word, etc. And so you see, it's a couplet. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. This is the way the picture should be. And then, you know, at the end of the chapter of Ephesians 5, each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. So there needs to be an attitude of respect. Respect is a big deal, a huge deal for husbands. And you look for ways to be respectful in your language and in your attitude. Now, Let's understand what submission is. Submission is a voluntary yielding to the power, authority, or desire of another person. Now, in especially a marriage relationship, it could be called deference. You defer to the other person based on that desire. Although a wife is to submit to the headship, notice it says the husband is the head of the wife. I want you to think about this. Does the head ever say, I think I'm going to pick up this this hammer and I'm going to beat my other hand with a hammer? Is that logical?
No.
My point is, because to think of a person who is the head of something, the head is typically protects. It's doing everything to protect the body. And so it doesn't imply headship as hardship. The Bible never implies that she is to submit to any abuse from a husband. She is to respect him in this way. She is to respect his position, not be victimized by his power. Let me give a specific. If a husband is physically abusing a wife or engaging in any illegal activity and reminding her that she must submit, that is absolutely wrong. In other words, her response needs to be biblical. That means even calling help from the police. Why? Because, like, for anything illegal, we are to submit to the governing authorities. Even if a husband were to say, I want you to rob the bank, and I will give you an example of when I used that, and I was stunned at the response of another person in a large gathering, and I was stunned. I was deeply disappointed in a wife who said, yes, I would go on and rob the bank. I said, you mean just because your husband told you to do so? She said, yes. And so I'll explain what happened after that. But the point is, the Bible says we must obey God rather than man. Now, I'm giving you a line. So we submit one to another. Husbands, wives submit to their husbands. Husbands love their wives. You then, again, in the hierarchy, higher than that is you submit to the governing authorities. But what if it's Hitler? And he's saying, gas all these people and you've got to pull the lever. No, that's killing. So the highest form of love, of submission is submitting to God. We must obey God rather than man.
Caregivers come from different backgrounds, education, and experience, but they all have one thing in common: a desire to help those who are hurting. Lifeline to Hope is a brand new caregiver training offered by Hope for the Heart. This 10-week video-based program can help you deploy a small, effective group of caregivers in your church. Biblical caregivers who can help meet the needs of hurting people. Connecting lives in crisis with a new or renewed life in Christ. This comprehensive training shows the biblical model for caregiving and includes sessions on effective listening, crisis intervention, family dynamics, having a ministry of presence, and more. Proverbs 11:14 reminds us that where there is no guidance, the people fall, but in abundance of counselors, there is victory. Discover more at lifelinetohope.org. lifelinetohope.org.
Did you know that June Hunt has a new website? JuneHunt.org gives you a behind-the-scenes peek into June's life and ministry. You'll hear her personal story of an uncertain childhood and how, even as a young adult, she struggled with anger, unforgiveness, lying, and her identity. Perhaps in June's story, you'll hear your story and discover the same hope and help that has guided her. As June says, God does not waste the trials in our lives. Along with June's story, you can see what's new as we work to share this message of biblical hope and practical help in more places and in new ways to reach more people. Because there is hope, no matter the circumstances. Make JuneHunt.org your place to go for what's new at Hope for the Heart, and make it your place to go for biblical hope and practical help anytime, anywhere.
You're listening to Hope in the Night. We're a ministry of Hope for the Heart, offering God's truth for today's problems. We want to thank you for your ongoing prayers and continued support of this ministry. Our customer support team is ready to take your calls at 800-488-HOPE. They can help guide you to God's hope through our resources. And we want to mention to you the keys for living called Marriage, to Have and to Hold. And that's available as you get in touch with us. The number again is 800-488-4673. Let me give you that title again, Keys for Living called Marriage, to Have and to Hold. Now, if you would like to speak with June about a specific situation in your life, perhaps something's going on, you'd just like to ask a question, and it's something that you would like some biblical hope and practical help, as June would speak that into your life and would be able to direct you with that, and we'd love to help you. The number is 800-NIGHT-17, that's 800-N-I-G-H-T, the numerals 1-7. Just call and follow the prompts, leave us a detailed message so we can get back to you and schedule you for the next available Hope in the Night. That's 800-NIGHT-17 or 800-644-4817. Let's welcome back Anna Marie.
Well, Anna Maria, I'm giving you not just one line of thought. I just want you to be able to think, holistically, meaning look at the whole picture. What we've got to do is look at the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel of God. And I say that because there are times if some person says something to us, just because that person says to do it, let me put in a different camp. Let's say a pastor were to say something, like even in a cult, Jim Jones, he told the people to drink Kool-Aid, and they knew they were drinking poison.
Yeah.
And there were a few that escaped. Now, but the point is, just because an authority figure says something, is it right in God's sight? Nowhere can you justify mass suicide with Jim Jones. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So it is, it's not just this easy, oh, just whatever he says. That's why in Hitler's regime, there would be people who would say, we had no choice. We were given the order to kill these people, to all these things. It didn't stand up in the the court of Nuremberg, the trials. And the point is not Hitler. It is God who is the one we are to please. And if we go against, well, for example, like years ago, and I'm using some extreme situations, but I was in my 20s, and my mother had a secretary, basically about my age, and she said, would you be willing to talk with my mother? And I said, talk with your mother? And she said, yes, she needs counsel. Well, I here I am just a youth director, and I said, well, I would be happy to talk with her. I don't know if I could be of help. Well, I just go over, and she's in an apartment, and there had been a divorce, and I didn't know anything about the situation. And I said, is there something you'd like for us to talk about? And she said, my husband kept using the word submit, 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 submit. He wanted us to swing. Do you know what swing means?
Infidelity, basically.
Okay. It means, yeah, changing partners. It's not sitting in a nice swing on the porch. It is, we're going to exchange sex partners. Like, being, okay. Now, and I, you know, that was a surprise to me. Here I am in my 20s, and she's double my age, and she's telling me this story. And she said, I kept saying, no, no. And finally, he said, you are to submit to me because I am your husband. If you call yourself a Christian, you have to submit. So she said, finally, I did it. She said, I felt so bad. I felt so dirty. And she said, I felt like I was sitting on a dime with my feet dangling over. I felt that small. And I said, well, this is all I could think of. I said, if, and I barely knew the Bible, but I said, all I can tell you is that's one of the Ten Commandments, adultery, being unfaithful to a spouse. But in this case, I understand that your husband was doing this, but it's like he wanted you to violate one of the Ten Commandments. The point is that it's not that it was one of the Ten Commandments, but it dawned on me, my response needed to be, you have the right to say no to anything that would make you go against the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Now, she was relieved to hear that, and she needed to know what to do, but see, I don't think she had blind submission. She had painful submission, knowing that what he was asking her to do was morally wrong. But she didn't know that she had the right to say no to go against immorality.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Okay, so I share that. And it, because there, like this situation I mentioned where I was teaching, they were all pastors' wives, and this, I saw a woman who was weeping, and I thought, what? I said, can I help you? I didn't know anything about the conference because I had been someplace else speaking, and I came in, I was supposed to speak on biblical counseling, and it was a large conference, and she said, I just don't think I can do what I'm upset. I don't know what to do with what I've been hearing. And it had to do with her own personal experience at her church where her husband did not support her when a man was physically, sexually being inappropriate toward her. And yet she didn't know what to do because she told her husband, and it, you know, it was messy and it was awful. And so I said, well, come, if you'd like to come into my session. So I thought, okay, I'm going to see if I can do it this way. I didn't address anything about her. I didn't even look at her. I said, are all of you pastors' wives? And they were. And so I turned to a woman. I said, could I ask you a question? She said, yes. I said, you're familiar with the scripture on submission. Wives submit to your husbands. Is that right? And she said, yes. And so I said, so if your husband says, I'm going to rob a bank, and I want you to be driving the getaway car, and no matter what, you know, you won't touch the money, but I'm telling you to do this, and you must do this because I am your husband, and you must submit. I said, would you do it? And she said, I thought she would say no. She said, yes. So I said, all right. Now, you know, the Bible does say, submit to the governing authorities. Well, since you know that the law of the land is not to steal, so yet if your husband said, but no matter what, you must, because I am your husband, you must submit, would you do it? Again, she said yes. I mean, she would rob the bank, help him in that respect, rob the bank. And I thought, whoa, this, I just was stunned. That's what stunned me, that she would still go against the civil law. And then I said, well, there, and so I just turned to the rest of the group. I said, well, you know, there is a highest law, Acts 5:29. We must obey God rather than man. There are those times if it's going against the word of God, and there's plenty of scripture in the word of God against stealing. So this is where at times you look at, has the Bible already spoken to this issue directly? And so as such, my producer said that you might want to have a question about 1 Peter, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you want to ask the question, or do you want me to go on and respond?
I was reading just this morning, actually, you mm-hmm. know, how she obeyed Abraham, and I mean, you know, mm-hmm. that got her into an awful lot of trouble.
Okay, yeah, so you know the other part of that. Okay,
yeah.
let me read it. It's 1 Peter 3, the first verse, it starts, wives, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without talk by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and wearing gold jewelry and all that. It should be your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. And then, this is kind of what you're referring to, for this is the way holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him master. You are daughters, and if you do what is right, do not give way to fear. Okay. So your question has to do with Sarah. Well, you're right. She got into a lot of trouble. See, she passed herself off as the sister of Abraham, even though she was like a half-sister, but she was married to Abraham. But she did what Abraham wanted, because he was afraid that if she was so attractive, she felt that the... At one time it was the king, another time it was the Pharaoh. They did it twice, and they got in horrible trouble. They were thrown out of the land. They did not bring honor to God. And once both leaders, rulers, learned that, oh, bad things were happening in their land because of him, the ruler, taking specifically Sarah, or Sarai. The bottom line is this. That was wrong, but at other times, she submitted, and it was right. So it's not taking everything Sarah did and as the benchmark. I would look at, what do you feel you could have peace doing that would not violate the Word of God? And this is going to have to be where you literally go before the Lord, and if it is right to have a spirit of submission, to defer. So, but not if you're having to violate the Word of God, and I know you're clear on that.
Yeah.
So, Heavenly Father, pour your wisdom into our friend.
We do send resources to each night's caller. We do that free of charge due to your generous support of this ministry, and we thank you so much for that. Now, if you would like to receive the keys for living called Marriage to Have and to Hold, please get in touch with us and order those at 800-488-HOPE. That's 800-488-4673. And our materials and past programs are available at hopefortheheart.org. Also, you can check out our broadcast app. It is called Hope for the Heart. That's a free download for you. Listen to the program right from that app. Until next time, for June Hunt, I'm Jeff Oliver saying you hang on to hope.